Only thing I wondered about with my father was traditional, my mother contemporary. What kind of music was that song? Was it country or was it Western? I couldn't quite figure out the difference, Wanda. So,
Minnesota.
It was Minnesota.
The guy who wrote it is from Minnesota.
Well, I think we know the answer to the question then, don't we? You know, my message is entitled really just simply Trust God, Trust God is really what it is about. And yet, as I say that, it's a whole lot simpler to say than it is to do sometimes, you know? It is a lot simpler. Oh, just trust God. I don't know about you. I have had moments, many, many moments where I had a little bit of difficulty trusting. Have you ever been there, anybody? You know? Am I a control freak? I think I'm actually normal, and I realize trusting God is a constant invitation that God has given us. We are invited to trust Him when our health goes awry. And incidentally, there will be a point in life our health probably will go awry. I mean, when you look at the statistics, you know what I'm saying? Do we trust Him when there is When there are financial problems in our life? Do we trust Him as a parent? Do we trust God as a parent? You even have to trust God for your kids even when they're in their 30s. How many of you would say amen? Or is it especially? You might feel like you had more control of them when they were 3, but you really didn't. I just want you to know that. Do we trust Him when we are dealing with that neighbor? Anybody have that neighbor in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is it you, Chuck?
No. did,
you did. Okay. Yeah. Do we trust Him when we're dealing with such things as mental illness? Ooh. Talk about a hard time to trust when everything is scrambly anyway, you know? Do we trust Him then? So today we're going to look at a very short scripture, and yet a famous one. You probably all have it memorized because you are so close to sainthood, aren't you?
Yeah.
At least St. Chuck, first one to say now. This is what Solomon says in Proverbs: trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. So, we're digging into the book of Proverbs. Honestly, if you wanted to sum up the whole thing, it could probably be summed up in those two verses. And here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and worship Him. Trust God. You know, I hope you haven't memorized, but just in case you don't, we'll give it a shot. Trust, let's say it together, could we? Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct. You know, honestly, that's what we're talking about today, is trusting in God. Like I said, it's easier to say than it is to do. And I think the stages of trust in God are all found in that scripture. I think there's 3 of them. We ought to trust God first when things happen that you don't understand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Lean not into that, see, because you don't have any. Lean not into your own understanding because you don't have any. And when we think we do have understanding, we probably discover later that we didn't have any then either. So we need to trust with all of our heart. Unexpected stuff comes up, you know. You don't understand what's happening. You don't understand why your spouse has left you, why your business is failing, why your kids are teenagers, you know. You don't understand why your friendship has gone sour, why you're having health problems. You just don't understand, and yet you're invited to trust Him anyway. And you don't have to be good enough to trust Him. I was dealing with someone from another town this week, and they were giving me all the story of their life, and it was really, really difficult. And I didn't know what to say. I finally just said, you really can trust God. Even if you don't see it, you really can. And the response was, I've not lived my life as a nun. I'm not good enough. I am not good enough. Isn't that something? And isn't that the point? You know, trust God. And I'm going to tell you this morning, that is exactly what Abraham did not do in the Old Testament. He was childless, and God said he would be father of a great nation. He said, through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Sarah was O-L-D, old, and not able to have a child. And I could just see him looking at Sarah. Really? She's going to be a mom? Really? Hasn't been all these years. And so Abraham and Sarah, they put on their thinking caps. That's generally the beginning of a disaster. You know? And so she chose one of her servants, a servant named Hagar, to mother a child with Abraham, because after all, she couldn't have a baby, and it was her solution to the problem. I was thinking about that. You know, she had a lot of servants. I wonder why she chose Hagar. I have to tell you, maybe she was the least favorite servant of the servants, because maybe she chose the one that maybe he liked the least. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Or the one looked down on. You know, after all, how much competition do you really want? As you choose your husband's surrogate spouse, and competition isn't always fun, you know. And so she gives birth to a son. Hagar gives birth to a son. They name him Ishmael. And God, in effect, says, congratulations, Abraham, you are the father of this young baby. But by the way, you're going to have another one. When it rains, you're going to have another. Sarah is going to have one, and Abraham and Sarah try to figure it out with their own understanding, but they have a limited understanding, and so it doesn't work out very well. God had a greater plan than they could have imagined. Have you ever had it where you figured out something and you figured out the wrong thing? You know, if you haven't, you haven't figured out much. Then and disaster ensues, and Hagar and Sarah come to parting ways and do their boys, and that was thousands of years ago, and you know that conflict still goes on today. Today, that conflict from Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, and so we need to trust. Do I have some pictures of Israel there somewhere? Yes, I do. You know, it's interesting, if you want to see a little picture of the conflict, there's this massive wall that runs through the edge of Jerusalem. Right in the middle of the holy city, there's this massive wall. And it is a separation between between the Palestinian territory and the Israeli territory. Now, I understand why there was a wall. People got tired of getting blown up, you know? I understand that pretty well. Bethlehem itself is a Palestinian territory. So when we went from Jerusalem, or at least the burbs of it, into Bethlehem, we had to go through a checkpoint, and our Israeli guide had to get off the bus. We were welcome. He was not. And a new guide had to hop onto the bus. And he explained to us things from the Jewish perspective, and she explained to us things from the Palestinian perspective. She was a Catholic woman, loved God. The other thing about Bethlehem that's interesting, when the wall went up, there were a lot of Christians there. Do you know now there's only 20% of the Christians that there were in Bethlehem because they couldn't make a living? And so people are abandoning the town, and she says, if I'm the last one left, I'm going to stay. You know, I'm going to stay. But however you think of this political thing, there's a wall. And I know God doesn't really intend walls, but it all goes back to Ishmael and Isaac and their descendants, and that's where it all comes from, because on one side of the wall they claim Ishmael as their father, the other side they claim Isaac, and like I say, they've been warring ever since. They've been warring ever since. One thing about traveling is you have to, if you're going to go anywhere, you have to fly, and I was not born with wings. Some of you probably were, but I wasn't. And so flying was a bit nerve-wracking to me, and we flew at night, and I noticed the plane didn't have headlights. No headlights. And then I realized that the plane was really flying through these instruments and these gauges that were way more accurate than the human eye anyway. And they could tell where we were at 40,000 feet when it was 60 below zero way up there. And it was hot in the plane. Isn't that amazing? You know? But as we flew over the ocean, the pilot depended on his instrument panel, see, because he didn't understand, and I need to do that too. I need to trust God when no one understands. Second thing is, we need to trust God when we are faced with a decision. It's a good idea to seek God's guidance when it comes to career, spouses, children, whatever. But it's probably a good idea to seek God's guidance every day of our life for a thousand little things. In fact, that is what God would want. Because we need him for guidance in any decision. Because the reality is, life is just a bunch of little decisions. You know, you look at somebody's life and it's a mess. It wasn't one decision that got them there. It was 100,000 decisions that got them there. Or the other way, you know. When you're forced to make a decision, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In your dating life, you know. When you're forced to make a decision, when you're dealing with entertainment. What entertainment will I watch? Well, trust God. When you're dealing with money. How much should I save for the future? How much do I give to God? Do I really dare give a tithe to him? Because after all, if I do that, I might starve to death. Actually, I've never seen anyone who gave that way starve to death. That is a great symbol of trust. Making decisions God's way is saying, God, I don't exactly understand this, but I'm going to go your way because it seems like you know more than I know, you know? And the third time we need to trust God is when the future seems uncertain. Sometimes the paths don't look so straight. It says he will make your path straight, you know. It's like driving in fog. You ever drove in fog? I mean, worst fog I ever drove in, I drove in for 500 miles. From Texas all the way to Illinois. Through the night, driving home from the Cotton Bowl football game a couple of years back, we were visiting our daughter, and she said, Dad, I want to go to the Cotton Bowl, I really do, because I went to Western and blah, blah, you know. How do you argue with a new mom? And so we took her month-old baby to the Cotton Bowl. You're like, I know how to argue with her. You haven't met my daughter. That's all I have to say. When life seems uncertain, sometimes the paths are really, really foggy. Sometimes it's so foggy you can't even see where you're at. In the middle of the drive home, I'm driving, and all of a sudden I see a sign that says Mississippi River. And I was on a bridge and didn't even know it. I was glad I wasn't in the river, really. See, God makes straight paths when we follow him. The first place to have a straight path is to know who we are. When we understand we are his child, it's the beginning of a straight path because it affects everything we're about. I don't need to have to freak out about this. I'm a child of God. He's going to take care of me, you know. I don't need to go down that road, you know. He's going to take care of me. So many people are one-dimensional, you know. I'm a businessman. I'm a student. I'm a teacher. I'm whatever I am. And it's one dimension. And the bottom line is we're a child of the King who does a lot of different things as husband or wife or neighbor or friend or business person or whatever. We're ambassadors of Christ. And it doesn't mean that you don't try to make sense of your life. It's just simply that he makes more sense than you do. You know, what does it mean to trust in God? You've heard the old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, isn't that right? But to trust and obey, trusting is one thing, obedience, well, but they go together. they go together. There was a foolish pastor once who decided to go skydiving, and he got up in the plane and he was about to jump when he said to his guide, he said, "How do I know the parachute will open?" And the guide said, "There's only one way to find out." Just one way. And when it comes to living your life, if you want to have it together, you want to keep it together, you can wander around in the dark, or you can trust God and lean on it into your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I tell you, for some it is so hard to trust. Trust and belief, I think, go together, don't you? What does belief mean? It means I trust God with my life, and I don't know how that's going to come out. Now, you could see me lift this piano bench and think, what good would a piano bench do that preacher? And you would be absolutely right, because I wouldn't know how to play it. But what if you saw the piano bench and thought, he looks tired? One pastor friend of mine, people have been telling him he looks tired for the last 30 years. He still does. But they could say you look tired, and you could say, but I have this piano bench, and okay, but are you just looking at the piano bench, or are you sitting on the piano bench? You know, there was a missionary in South America a number of years back trying to translate the language of the tribe into the language, into the Bible, you know. And he got to the word believe. He was translating John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him wouldn't perish. And there was no word for believe in that language. And he scratched his head, and he scratched his head, and he scratched his head, and then he got a visitor, one of the young men from the local tribe who had worked really, really hard that day, was really, really exhausted, and he grabbed hold of the chair, he pulled it out, and he went, and then he realized to believe was to put your whole weight into. The chair doesn't do me a whole lot of good until I'm willing to put my whole weight into it. And so trust in the Lord means I'm just going to, don't know where it's going, God, but I'd rather sit with you than sit without you. Don't know where it's going. Let's pray. Could we do that? Father, how we wish to trust you. Some of us don't feel able to let go. God, where we are not able, make us able. Some of us don't feel good enough. Others have the very huge problem of almost feeling too good or too smart. Whatever our deal is, God, I just ask you to help us put our weight in. our whole weight on you. And we ask this in the name of your Son. Amen. Now, when it comes to trusting God, we have a little team of people who intercede for others. Intercessory prayer means what? It means I'm praying for someone else, really. And they meet in my office following the service, and those people have prayed a lot for Mr. Helvey and for Mike and for others I see out there. And miracles have happened, and we believe that if you have trouble trusting or you need to pray for somebody, it's there. So I hope you will take advantage of that following the service.